So our reading this morning is from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 31. So Jesus has been comforting his disciples in the run-up to his death and promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I am going away and I am coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave."
And as we reflect on those sort of farewell speech by our Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples, and thinking about our study on the person of the Holy Spirit, I'd like us to discuss this morning the Holy Spirit, the Advocate. Holy Spirit, the Advocate. And I'd like us, if you will, please, for us to read the 16th one and then the 26th. Shall we read together the verse 16? "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." 26 now. "But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, we teach you all things and we remind you of everything I've said to you." Amen. Now let's go back to the beginning one, and I would like us to focus on those words. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, advocate," which in the Greek word is parakletos, "to be with you." How long? Forever. How long is forever? Forever is forever. "And I will ask the Father." The 16th verse began with that conjunction, and I will ask you. So why? It means it is in connection to the previous one. So if you have agape love in you, then I will ask the Father, and he will give you. Another in Greek word is allos. And another counselor, another advocate in the Greek is another allos paracletos. Allos paracletos. And I will ask the Father, if the agape love is in you, right? Then I will ask the Father, and he will give you someone that looks like me. And I will ask the Father. So, like I said, a farewell speech by Jesus Christ, which should have been a sad day because he was leaving, right? But he now turns it around to bring good news out of what might have looked sad to them, preparing them for what was coming ahead. Yes, I'm going away. Yes, it might be bad news for you, but I want you to see it as good news. You know, he began in verse 1 of this chapter saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he goes on to say, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I will go and prepare a place for you. And in verse 12, he says, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. So he is going away. It should have been a sad kind of day. So I'm going, I will die, I will suffer for the sins of the world, but I'm not going to leave you. I will come to you in another shape. And in verse 1, some earlier manuscripts say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's not just asking them, but it's emphatically saying that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He was going away, and he was comforting them. So, Jesus Christ promised that the disciples would receive the Holy Spirit. And you know, when he visited them before the ascension in John chapter 20, he said, the Bible says he breathed, and then they received the Holy Spirit. And you remember in Acts chapter 2, the whole believers now received the Holy Spirit. So the disciples, first of all, in John 20, and then the whole disciples and the followers and everyone, 120 of them, we are told, in that upper room on that day, received the Holy Spirit. Now to us, we don't need to wait like the apostles. The Holy Spirit is already been given, but we have to acknowledge him in our lives and welcome him as the advocate, as the counselor, as someone who walks alongside. The word allos paracletos, like I said, has got several translations in the English word, but I think the main thing about the role of an advocate in this regard is someone of that comforts us and also counsels us. Not just comforting us, but he counsels us. So you have been given the Holy Spirit as another advocate, which means Jesus Christ was also the comforter. He was also an advocate. He was also praying for us. He was also helping us. But he has now given us another one that will lead for us with us forever. So the word, like I said, has got several translations. And if you're writing, other meanings could be a helper, an advocate. Some Bible translations will say an encourager, a counselor, a comforter, an intercessor, a strengthener, and a standby. I'll say that again. Helper, advocate, encourager, counselor, comforter, intercessor, strengthener, and standby. The Holy Spirit is a powerful person. He is on our side. He is working for us and with us. You know, the thing I've found in the church today is that most people as Christians are comfortable to settle with the fact that the Holy Spirit is working for me. But I pray that we go a little further so that he will walk with us. Yeah, he's working for us, yes? Because no person will become a Christian without the work of the Holy Spirit. If you receive Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you have received the Holy Spirit. All right? Because he promised to give us the Holy Spirit that will live with us forever. Forever. He also wants to walk with us. And that is what I want us to dwell on in this series about the Holy Spirit. To ask him to help us to walk with us, discovering our gifts, discovering what the spiritual package has given us, and then stepping up so that he will walk with us. What we say through what we do and everything. But I like to say that as an advocate, we cannot do anything on our own. The Holy Spirit works for us. He is interested in helping us to quicken our prayer life, our study life. He wants to help us even when we feel very weak. He wants to help us understand the Bible. The Holy Spirit helps our prayer life. Do you remember Romans chapter 8, verse 26? In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we need to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Sometimes, maybe we are confused. Maybe we think about things here and there. We might not know how to express these in words. The Holy Spirit understands how we feel. And Romans 8:26 says, through groanings. And sometimes you see yourself crying. You see yourself being emotional, sort of. The Holy Spirit walks through all these things and then prays for you. And God the Father, who understands all those wordless prayers, will answer your prayer. It is the power of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. You remember when I said I was kind of burdened with things and I didn't know what to do? I wrote a letter to God, remember? And I kept at the altar. I didn't know if any of the volunteers in the church saw it or those who cleaned the church, but I didn't care at that moment. I didn't need to worry about that because I was just saying, I want to write to him. I just want to address this letter to him. I didn't know the postman that delivers to heaven, but I kept that at the altar. And you know what? I believe the prayers were answered. He read them. Yes, he did. He read my prayers. And I believe that's the way the Holy Spirit prays for us. And sometimes we might just be weak in the natural, in the physical. We don't know even how to express our words. Or we might even burst in song sometimes when we want to pray. I believe that the Spirit of God interprets all those things. And God the Father hears us. And he answers us. The Holy Spirit also helps us to keep ourselves under check. You know, in Romans 8:13, it says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Romans 8:13. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Which means it is the Spirit of God that helps us to keep ourselves and our flesh under check. We cannot assume that I've been a Christian for 100 years and so I'm above temptation, and I can handle it myself. I don't think we're able to handle things that come our way by way of temptation. But the Holy Spirit helps us to kind of discover, discern, what should I answer her now? What should I answer him at this time? You know, what should I do that wouldn't be, you know, against the thing? And so the Holy Spirit also walks with us and helps us to walk in the Spirit himself. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." In fact, before this verse, verse 15 says, "If you live in the Spirit, then walk by the Spirit." So it is one thing to live in the Spirit. It's another thing to now try to walk by the Spirit. And for me, how do we walk by the Spirit? It's not just going off on our own strengths. It's just waiting, listening to him. What should I do on this occasion, Lord? What should I do? Yes, not depending on my own intellect, my own wisdom, but depending on him. I also believe that the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to be transformed. You know, in Romans 12, it says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." And he says in verse 2, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So I believe the Holy Spirit helps us to let our minds be transformed. You know, in Thessalonians somewhere, it says we are spirit, soul, and body. What we should realize is that it's only the spirit that gets saved. The body doesn't get saved. The soul doesn't get saved. If I am short before becoming a Christian, I'll still be short. If I am fair in complexion, I'll still be fair. If I have anger issues, it will still be there. You don't just expect that when you become a believer, then all those things will go away. Then that's when the journey begins. That's when now I will now have to ask the Holy Spirit to help me to work on myself, all right? And then transform my mind, and then work on my anger issues or other issues I have. And with time, because these things are, it's always a process. Sanctification is a process. We are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved ultimately. But because we are on this part of heaven, yes, that's how I describe it, if you are living in the Spirit, on this part of heaven, we need to go on a process. Don't just assume that you put yourself on that situation because I've read the Bible for 20 years and then I can, you know, go wherever I like, and I can go into the pub and ask them to give me water inside a keg that used to house alcohol, you know, and then I will drink it. No one will know that I'm not drinking water, right? I don't know if you get what I'm trying to explain. Yeah. Because I have been a Christian for several years does not excuse me from temptation. I should ask the Holy Spirit to help me work on the things that are not really in keeping with being a Christian, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit to help us. On our own, we cannot do these things. On our own, we cannot pray enough. Don't be intimidated by people who come along and say they pray for 10 hours. They've read the Bible cover to cover. You know, it's easy for us to be intimidated by these things, by people who say these things. Yes, they have been there, but it is not of our own making. I did not do these things of myself. It is under the submission of the Holy Spirit. In concluding, I would like us to just run through what I believe the Holy Spirit does in our lives as the Allos Parakletos, the Spirit of Truth. who lives with us forever. Number one is that the Holy Spirit will never leave us. Praise God. What did I say? He will never leave us. We might feel sometimes that he has left us. There was this man who used to pastor the largest church in the whole world. David Yongicho. I don't know if you heard about him. Yoidofu Gospel Church. Has anyone heard about the church in South Korea? He wrote a book years ago, and he says, "Suffering, why me?" When he was going through things and issues, and he was, you know, kind of say, "Why me? Why should I be the person, you know, suffering?" And he felt as if God has forsaken him. Have you ever felt that way before? I have. You know, there are sometimes, you know, you feel, what is happening here? Where is God? Where has he gone to? Has he gone on vacation? He never leaves us. That's my point. We might feel that he has left us, but he never leaves us. He promised to be with us forever, and he means it. He will be with us even when we feel like it and when we don't feel like it. He will be with us even when we feel our prayer lives are somewhere down there. He promised to be with us. He doesn't behave like we do. He doesn't run away when we offend him. He always sticks with us. The world at large cannot receive the Holy Spirit. He says, the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Anyone that is not in Christ has not got the Holy Spirit. The only thing the Holy Spirit does is to run after them and try to make the words of Jesus to become real to them. But the difference between a believer in Christ and an unbeliever in Christ is that I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And also the third one is that he lives with us and also in us. He lives with us and in us. In verse 17, it says, "For he lives with you and will be in you." Praise God. He lives with us and he is in us. In verse 16, we see 26, like I told us to read, he will teach us all things. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. And I have to say something here, as I always, you know, tell my younger ones. The Holy Spirit will only remind you what you have read. If you don't read the Bible, there is nothing for him to remind you of. And so I always tell young people, if you don't read, you won't pass your exams. Simple. If you don't study, you won't make well in education. You have to study. You have to read. Isn't it? You have to read. And then you have to study. Then when the time comes, then the Holy Spirit will help you. He's done in my life before. When I was young, when I read, the Lord will give me retentive memory. Even in the exam hall, I will just remember what I have read. But you have to read. When the Spirit of God says he will remind you of all things, he will remind you of what we have read. And so spend time reading the Bible. Spend time also reading with others. You know, we read differently, right? There are people who, when they read on their own, they don't really understand. But when they read with people, and that's why small group Bible studies are really good, right? They are very good. When you study with others, you get a sort of, even myself, you get some new inspiration. But the Holy Spirit is the one who will teach us and will remind us, all right? I always say, you don't learn the Bible in a Bible school. You learn the Bible by reading the Bible. That's how we study, by reading the Bible. And also, the Holy Spirit reminds us of the words of Jesus Christ. The same verse again. He reminds us of what Jesus has said. The Holy Spirit convinces us of sin, shows us God's righteousness, and announces God's judgment on evil. In verse 14, he convinces us of sin. The presence of the Holy Spirit lets us know when we have said a thing or we have done a thing, and that conviction will come that, oh, I didn't do it well, and then try to do it well next time. You might have answered someone, and, oh, I didn't like the way I answered them. Right. The Holy Spirit will help you work this out and probably figure a way either to go back to them and say, you know, the other day I didn't really mean to say it that way. I'm sorry if I have come across this way, and will you just forgive me, please? The Holy Spirit will work in their hearts also to that peace will come. Remember, he says, I give you my peace, not as the world gives, as the Father gives. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth and give us insight into future events. In verse 13, he will give us, we didn't read it now today, but in verse 13, he will give us insight into future events. And then finally, I've said it and I'll say it over and over, the Holy Spirit brings glory to Christ. Whatever the Holy Spirit does is to point us to Jesus Christ, not to point us to ourselves, not to point us to our spiritual strength or importance or our titles, but to point to Christ. So whatever manifestation or things that people do today that don't point people to Christ, they are not the works of the Holy Spirit. But my point today is that as an advocate, he has come as a comforter and as a counselor. My prayer is that he will help us. When we feel down and out, he will comfort us. When we feel that we need someone to speak on our behalf, he will speak for us. When we pray, we don't know what to pray about, he will pray for us. When we cry and weep and when we are burdened with things left and right, he will help us. And then the Father will do all those things for us. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in my life. Yes, Lord. You promised, Lord Jesus, and you have given us another comforter. May we, O gracious Lord, accept his work in our lives, and let's allow him to walk in us and to walk with us. Holy Spirit of the living God, there are things that we don't understand yet, but we leave all these things to you. We know that you will help our weaknesses because you are with us forever. Help us, Lord, in whatever we do for the rest of the day, that you will move through them all to glorify Jesus Christ. For the rest of the week and the week ahead of us, for the activities we have, may you, Holy Spirit, use all these things to bring people unto you. And at this point, Lord, we pray for those who feel down and out. We pray for those who feel that they are unworthy. Yes, we've all been there. But may your Holy Spirit, the Comforter, come to us to comfort us, to speak the language that we will understand. May he strengthen us. May he encourage us. He is a standby. For when we feel down and out, to quicken us to come back alive again. Holy Spirit of the living God, we ask you to work in our lives. May we never run off on our own strengths. May we never understand using our own interpretation. But we ask that we will decrease, that Jesus will increase in our lives. Holy Spirit of the living God, for those who are suffering in their physical bodies, we pray for ourselves now. We believe in healing. We believe in deliverance. These come through your word. And faith in the name that is above every other name. The name given that every knee should bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, Lord, now I speak the name of Jesus over every situation. I speak the name of Jesus over every family here. I speak the name of Jesus over all our members that are not here, those who are housebound and those who are in hospital. We speak the name of Jesus over every situation now. We speak the name of Jesus over every care, every anxiety, every worry that we carry. We speak the name of Jesus over these situations now. And may the Holy Spirit walk with our prayers and bring deliverance where there is need for deliverance. And bring healing where there is need for healing. It might not be physical healing. It might be just emotional healing. It might be some spiritual sort of touch they need. We pray, may your Holy Spirit bring healing where there is need right now. We pray, oh Lord, for everyone that will be part of our lives this week, may your Spirit use us as your instruments, Lord. We pray for ourselves that you will help us, even when we feel weak, that we will be strong again. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks with a glory. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the glory one. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. We give you thanks. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. May your Holy Spirit continue to do these works, Lord, in our hearts, that we will continue to confess your word, not confess our negative lies, not to confess our fears, but confessing your word. We confess faith in you, O Lord, faith in your word, that your Holy Spirit, our advocate, will continue to speak on our behalf. Thank you, precious Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.